This is your tech news briefing for Friday, July 24th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. We report that Amazon has been meeting with startups, in some cases investing in them, and then developing their own competing products. Entrepreneurs at some of these startups say that Amazon's actions devastated their businesses. Our reporter Dana Mattioli will join us to explain what's happening after these headlines. China launched its first mission to Mars yesterday. Missions to the Red Planet are notoriously difficult, but if everything goes to plan, China will join the U.S. and Russia as the only countries to land a probe there ever. Now the spotlight shifts to the U.S. NASA is expected to launch its next Mars probe in a week. Twitter reported strong user growth in the second quarter, but its revenue fell nearly 20%. The company has been navigating a rocky advertising climate in the pandemic, as well as dealing with the fallout from its recent security breach. The company didn't provide any guidance for future quarters, citing market uncertainty. But we did get some insight about one rumor that's been floating around. CEO Jack Dorsey finally confirmed that Twitter is experimenting with a subscription service. Here's our reporter, Sarah Needleman.
Twitter has put out a job ad that mentioned a subscription service and that they're looking for someone to help work on that. That was a few weeks ago, and there was one other job ad posting even before that. This is the first time the company appears to publicly acknowledge that, at least in an earnings call. That is of interest to investors because it's a potential opportunity to generate revenue. You know, revenue has been a difficult area for the company, which relies heavily on advertising. So a subscription platform could potentially complement what it's doing now and in other areas to generate more revenue and turn a profit.
And Walmart is selling its 28 store locations in India to Flipkart. That's the Indian e-commerce startup Walmart Controls. The move will help consolidate Walmart's operations in India as it works to compete with another new player to the region, Amazon. Speaking of Amazon, we report that for some startups, taking funding from Amazon could be a double-edged sword. More on that after the break. 4 years ago, Amazon's venture capital arm, the Alexa Fund, put money into an artificial intelligence company called Defined Crowd. In doing so, the fund gained access to Defined Crowd's finances and other confidential information. Then, this past April, Amazon launched a product that does almost exactly what Defined Crowd does. We report that this kind of action from Amazon isn't a one-off. It's part of a pattern that our reporter Dana Mattioli has been looking into. And she joins us now to explain it. Dana, thanks so much for being here.
Anytime.
Okay, so tell us about that pattern you uncovered. What has Amazon been doing?
Yeah, so we spoke to more than two dozen entrepreneurs, investors, deal advisors to find out how Amazon and its venture fund, the Alexa Fund, behave when they're meeting with these entrepreneurs about a potential deal or to learn more about their companies. And we found a pattern where these entrepreneurs, who, you know, they're small companies that are building revolutionary technology, went into these meetings with Amazon because you don't say no to a meeting with Amazon, and, you know, had deal talks, provided them with information. And for many of them, they wound up getting ghosted by the company later on, only for Amazon to launch a competing product with a lot of the technology that they spoke about.
How has Amazon responded to this reporting?
You know, Amazon was made aware of everything in the story, you know, prior to publishing. And Amazon has said that the company does not use confidential information that companies share with it to build competing products.
Got it. So from your reporting, when Amazon talks to a company and then later releases a similar technology, how does that impact the startup?
So for the startups involved, this sort of behavior could be devastating. There was an example in our story of a company called Nucleus. They made a technology that was Alexa-enabled and had a screen on it for communicating. The Alexa Fund took a stake in the company and got access to different data on it. And then 8 months later, announced a competing product called the Echo Show. You know, the company was really upset about this, so were the other investors. And this company went from having like so much road ahead of it and having great contracts in Home Depot and Best Buy and giant retailers. And, you know, pretty much the second that the Echo Show was brought to market by Amazon, those orders stopped coming in. They had a pivot. They got into a new industry doing healthcare, but it hasn't taken off. So that's just one example. You know, before covering Amazon, I spent 6 years covering mergers and acquisitions for the Wall Street Journal. And I've never seen this type of reaction from people involved in deal making. You know, I've spoke to some of these typically men in their 40s or 50s, and this is years sometimes after they felt like they've been wronged by Amazon, and it's like a very visceral reaction. Some of them, you know, cry on the phone, and it's just, you know, it's a type of reaction you don't normally see in business dealings.
Wow. So you alluded to this, but I want to kind of delve into the mind of a startup founder. What's their calculus when they go into a meeting like this with Amazon? What are they thinking about?
Yeah. So from a startup perspective, Amazon is a $1.5 trillion company. It's one of the biggest companies in the world. And it operates in almost every industry there is. So this could be a double-edged sword. This could be an opportunity for them to get funding or to sell themselves to the company or to partner with them. But because it competes in all those areas, you have to be very careful about, you know, when you open the kimono, how much you reveal, because they're also competing in those areas and can get ideas, and you can't really unsee what you learn in those meetings.
You know, dozens of the people who have taken money from Amazon told me that this was a big fear of theirs when they took the money. And I would ask them, well, why did you do that? And for a lot of them, you know, this is such a big company, Amazon, and, you know, they thought it could lead to maybe a very good exit for them, and maybe Amazon buys their company after seeing how great the technology is. The fact of the matter is, the Alexa Fund has invested in dozens of companies, and it's only ever bought one of them, and that's Ring Doorbell. So it's not a very likely path that if you take an investment from Amazon's Alexa Fund, that later on that the company will buy you.
So in some cases, Amazon did actually put money into some of these companies. And maybe this is a silly question, but how is that strategic for Amazon to invest in a company and then compete with it?
So traditional venture capitalism is, you know, you make these investments with the hopes that you invest in a company that becomes like an Uber or a Pinterest or another, you know, a startup that does really well, and you make money on it. That's different from how Amazon's venture fund is set up and typical corporate venture funds. And that's, you know, where the difference lies. Instead of trying to make money off of these companies that it invests in, it's trying to learn information and also seed different companies that align with its interests. With the Alexa Fund, that interest is, you know, enabling voice technology.
Dana, this story sounds kind of familiar. Haven't we seen something similar from Amazon and its treatment of third-party sellers on the platform?
Yeah, there's a similar pattern here. So in April, we published, you know, a month-long investigation into Amazon's private label side of the business. And that side of the business makes hundreds or thousands of products from everything from Amazon Basics clothing to, you know, lightning cables to charge your phone with, to appliances. And what we found is that some employees on the private label side of the business were using data on individual third-party sellers on its site to create competing products. And if you think about that story and you extrapolate what's going on in this newest story, you know, the information they're using when they meet with these other startups is informing a different type of private label strategy. It's informing things like Amazon's Alexa Echo and its devices, right? So there are a lot of similarities here.
Are there any antitrust implications here?
It could be interpreted that way. You know, Amazon's facing scrutiny from Congress, the FTC, the Justice Department, all about whether it unfairly uses its size and its platform against competitors and other sellers on the site. And there's also an EU investigation into the company. So any sort of behavior that could be deemed predatory could definitely be called into question.
Yeah, and actually CEO Jeff Bezos is going to testify before Congress on Monday on these antitrust questions, too. Could this come up in that hearing?
So Jeff is testifying alongside Mark Zuckerberg and a few other technology CEOs about their business practices. No one, you know, has access to the questions that will be asked at that meeting, but this will delve into anti-competitive behavior. So you would imagine that, you know, all the lawmakers that will be asking questions could delve into prior acquisitions or prior deal making, because there's a whole question around whether the tech behemoths are using M&A and their investments to stifle innovation and put smaller competitors out of business.
All right, our reporter Dana Mattioli, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And that was your tech news briefing. We've got more tech stories on WSJ.com, so check us out there. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.